In this segment, I'm going to talk about a man I had in my first clinic named Vic. I talked a little bit about my first clinic and how I really was totally clueless to what I was doing in that particular program. I had seven people come to that program, and one of them was a man named Vic. Vic didn't want to quit smoking. Vic was kind of interesting because Vic had a friend, Dick, who wanted to quit smoking. Dick lived across the street of Vic, and I think Dick had some medical issues, and he goes to Vic and he says, you know, I have to quit smoking, and I can't do this alone, and gee, will you come to this program with me? Vic doesn't want to quit smoking. You know, Vic likes smoking. He had really no interest in quitting, and he told Dick, no, you know, I don't want to quit smoking. But Dick was kind of persuasive, and he's begging him to come and, you know, saying, oh, I need help to quit. I can't do this myself. Please, will you come with me to quit smoking? And Vic, again, doesn't want to quit and says no. Anyway, Dick ends up talking Vic into the program. What turns out happening is during this program, Vic quit smoking. Dick does not. Dick was the man who literally had quit a couple of days cold turkey, and then on the third day, relapsed. You know, he said now he was cutting down, then he ended up dropping out of the program. That was Dick, and that was it for him in the program. Vic hung in through the program, though. And it was funny because, as I said, and as Vic said, he didn't want to quit smoking. He had said on the second day when he came in that the only reason he didn't smoke at all that particular day was he suffered so much the first day, so much that he would have felt like a total moron if all the suffering was for nothing. That's what kept him going. When he came the next day of the program, and I asked what he was doing, yeah, he was doing okay, you know, he hadn't smoked, but he was miserable, he just didn't feel any better. He said, you know, the only reason I had a light up today is I suffered so much for 2 days in a row, and now I feel like a total idiot if this was all for nothing. Vic was pretty interesting, because Vic stuck with this line of talk and this line of thinking for a very long time. He wasn't having physical withdrawal, he knew that. But he was complaining that he was miserable because he wasn't smoking and he had nothing to show for it. He wasn't feeling withdrawal, he wasn't feeling, you know, headaches or dizziness or nausea, he wasn't feeling anything like that. He was just kind of miserable because, you know, he didn't want to quit smoking, but he suffered so much in the beginning, he suffered all along, it would all be for nothing. I did a follow-up meeting for this group, and no one showed up to the meeting. It was a month later, and when I said no one showed up, the janitor who was supposed to open up the building where I was doing the clinic doesn't show up. I'm standing outside. It's raining outside, and it's like 7:30, and all the people, even the ones who had went back to smoking, I had contacted them, they all said they would come back. Well, no one was showing up to this meeting, and I've learned for a long time after that no one really shows up to the follow-up meetings. No matter how many people say they're going to come, you're lucky to get anyone to come. I'm standing out there. The meeting was supposed to start at 7:30, and then it's raining, I'm getting wet. I'm standing out there for almost 10-15 minutes and realize this is nuts. You know, I'm just going to leave. All of a sudden, I see Vic walking up the street. He was late, but he does show up. We're locked out of the building, though, and we stayed a couple more minutes. And although when Vic was coming up, I was kind of surprised to see him. I said, "Oh, Vic, how are you doing?" He says, "Rotten." I said, "Oh, what do you mean, rotten?" He says, "Oh, it's smoky, if that's what you mean." And I didn't mean anything by it. I was just asking what he would say. He started out with rotten. I was like, "What do you mean, rotten?" He says, "No, I haven't smoked anything. I just don't feel any better. I don't feel any improvements." He said, "You know, the only reason I didn't light up today, the only reason is I suffered so much for 30 days in a row now, I feel like a total idiot if I did this all for nothing." If Vic was nothing, he was consistent. And he wasn't trying to be facetious with me. He was telling me what he believed. There was just no improvements. We stand outside a little bit longer. It's raining, we're wet, and we realize this is nuts. And we go to a restaurant across the street. We're sitting in a restaurant. It had to be 15, 20 minutes, and we're talking. And Vic says, "Joel, did I ever tell you I had a heart attack before?" Now, during my clinic, this guy never brings up he has a heart attack. He was only in his early 40s at this time, or at the time of the heart attack. I says, "No, I never knew you had a heart attack." He said, "Yeah." To show you what a dedicated smoker I was, when I was in the hospital right after the heart attack, I was still getting chest pains pretty regularly, you know, and I was scared. I didn't know, was I having indigestion? Was I having another heart attack? And, you know, it was really pretty scary. You know, every day my wife would come visit me in the hospital. This is right after the heart attack. And every day when she got there, I said, "Oh, please, please, go out and get me a newspaper." And she didn't know why, but he was kind of insistent, "You know, please go get me a newspaper." And he said she'd go get a newspaper. He said, "The funny thing is, I never wanted the newspaper. I just knew whenever she'd go to get the newspaper, she'd leave her purse behind. She was a smoker. She had cigarettes in that purse." He said he'd go in, sneak out two or three of the cigarettes. He wasn't going to take more because she noticed too many missing. She wasn't going to let him have cigarettes because, oh my God, it's killing him now. You know? But she was a smoker. So he was sending her out to get a newspaper that he didn't want so he could sneak two or three cigarettes. So when she'd leave for the day, he'd sneak those two or three cigarettes, you know, sometime later that evening. He said he had big fears every day in the hospital. He was getting chest pains. He had fears. You know, he said he had two big fears, though. One was, was his chest pain, you know, a heart attack? Was this still going on? Or was his wife going to fall for this again? And, you know, was he going to be able to get cigarettes? And he said he couldn't tell you what the bigger fear was. So those were both real fears he had. He said after the clinic was over, after he got home from the hospital, he was still getting chest pains pretty regularly. He said he was scared. He didn't know. Was he having indigestion? Was he having another heart attack? This was something that was kind of plaguing him for quite a long time. He says, you know, since I quit smoking, I don't think I really had any chest pains. Now, half hour earlier when we're talking and I'm asking him, how are you feeling? Oh, rotten, no improvement. Well, here's a guy who's a post-cardiac patient who used to get chest pains regularly from what he's describing. He hasn't got them since he quit smoking. Oh, but gosh, he hasn't had any improvements. We're sitting and we're talking a little bit longer, and he starts laughing. He said, there's one other thing that's better. He said, it's about a week or two after I quit smoking. So it was just a couple of weeks ago, you know, because this meeting was a one-month mark. He said, something happened one night. I was laying in bed, and I was kind of half awake. I was half asleep, and something was wrong. I didn't know what it was, but something wasn't right. And I opened my eyes real wide, and I found my wife's face this far from my face, staring straight at me. And he said, he got all startled. He said, what's wrong? Why are you staring at me? And she said, well, I didn't hear you wheezing. I thought you died. You see, Vic used to wheeze and cough in his sleep constantly. When he quit smoking, he stopped wheezing and coughing. Well, his wife thought he quit breathing. So here was another improvement. This guy used to wheeze and cough in his sleep constantly, and he's not wheezing or coughing anymore. Then he starts laughing. Oh, yeah. Now something else happened. It was about a week after the clinic was over. I used to come home from work every now and then, be early and be in a kind of really good mood, and kids weren't around, and I go to my wife, and we have this extra time. I said, come on, let's go upstairs. And he said, oh, his wife used to get excited and kind of run up the stairs, and he'd start to run up the stairs after. He'd get to about the second or third step and start to wheeze and cough his guts out. His wife used to turn to him every day this was happening and say, oh, forget it, a good one's going to kill you. And now he says, you know, I can kind of beat my wife up and down the stairs. He came up with a list of things that improved after he quit smoking that were impressive. I mean, there were others, things that were going on. Although when I asked him earlier, have you noticed any improvements since you quit smoking? Oh, no, rotten. You know, rotten. No improvements whatsoever. He had them. A lot of people will find when they quit smoking, there are improvements that occur. But if they don't make a mental note, and I'm not saying make up improvements that don't happen, but if you remember what things were really like when you were smoking and what they're like once you quit, there's probably a good chance that you're breathing better. There's probably a chance you're sleeping better. There's probably a chance you have more energy, you're calmer. There's a whole list of things that may have actually improved, but they happened gradually over those first few days and weeks. And if you don't make mental note of what they were, you'll think, oh my gosh, I have nothing to show since I quit smoking, when the fact is there could be some very dramatic improvements. Again, don't look at cigarettes negatively, but try to remember what they were like in their entirety. Try to remember what you're like now, and if these improvements happen, write them down. Make some sort of notation so that when you do get the thought, you have to ask yourself, do you want not only to go back to smoking, but do you want to go back, as again, in Vic's case, do you want to go back to having constant chest pains and not knowing? Do you want to go back to being winded and, you know, wheezing in your sleep and things like that? It's a matter of remembering how they were at the end, and again, then remembering to avoid ever having to be in that state again, to just never take another puff.